I'm not too sure what there's still left to say, really, after hearing those testimonies, and I'm aware of the time that it is pressed on. But if you will oblige me, I just want to share a few thoughts with you, and I nearly said promise. The Lord says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, doesn't he? So let me just share a few thoughts with you that are on my heart, just to share with you. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 11. Paul writes the following. He says, as we've journeyed through Easter, we've looked at a variety of different themes. Began on Thursday evening looking at the theme of peace. We've looked at the theme of redemption on Friday, joy early this morning, power at our family service this morning. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about new life this evening. The signs of which are all around us, aren't they? Yeah. You just walk through the shops and you see Easter eggs, it reminds you of new life. Little chicks that are all around reminds you of new life. Creation at the moment is just kind of bursting with new life. On the way here earlier on this afternoon, I walked under a tree that was exploding with white blossoms. And I looked up and you could hardly see the blue sky through the blossoms, and I just thought, new life. When we were in Cornwall, driving on some of the roads through Cornwall, there's lots of sheep and stuff in the pastures, and everywhere you looked were tiny little lambs, and it just shouts of new life. Something you've seen this evening. New life beginning. Right? The whole idea of being buried with Christ as he was buried in the tomb, being raised up again into new life just as Christ was raised out of the tomb. It speaks about new life for us. And Paul sums it up really succinctly when he says in that one verse, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. And I want to apply three questions to this text very briefly. Firstly, the two questions might be for those that have yet to put their trust in Jesus Christ, yet to go through the waters of baptism, receiving Jesus as Lord. And then the third question will apply to all of us, to those especially who have been baptized this evening, but to every person who has put their trust in Jesus. So here we go. Three really simple questions. Question number one, why does the old have to go? Paul says it. He said, the old is gone. Well, why does the old have to go? You may be thinking to yourself, but I don't want the old to go. I kind of like the old. I don't need religion as a crutch to help me get through life. I'm actually in a bit of a sweet spot in life at the moment. And haven't you heard what they say? The grass is not always greener on the other side. So I'm quite happy with the way things are at the moment. Thank you very much. I don't want the old to go. I think I'll just stay where I am. But that doesn't work. It doesn't work because the Bible says that we've got a problem. The Bible tells us that we've got a sin problem. Sin is a very short little word, very small little word that captures a lot of things in the Bible. The fact that every single human being, we do the wrong things. We do things that we know we shouldn't do. And sometimes we don't do the things that we should do. And the Bible calls it sin. Sums it up very simply elsewhere. Paul says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've got a sin problem that's doing damage to us and sometimes doing damage to the people around us. It's inherent in every single person. It's why the old has got to go. Nobody is excluded from this. You can't say, well, I'm a good person, so I don't have a sin problem. You can't say, well, I earn above X amount, so therefore I must be a good person. I've got a good job, I must be a good person, etc., etc. Nobody escapes from this. You go back to the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read the story of how sin comes to humankind, and then, to use the word that kind of sounds quite aggressive, infects all of humankind. God creates the heavens and the earth, speaks creation into being. The first human beings are created, Adam and Eve, and the Bible tells us that they're made in the image of God. So they've got things about the character and nature of God that are stamped on them. Things like their need for relationship, things like their need to worship, to be creative. All these things are qualities that God has placed within them, as God has placed within you, because you too are made in the image of God. And God blesses them. He says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, have lots of babies. And you're to fill the earth. All right? and subdue the earth. And so he gives them purpose. When you think about it, it's immense. He gives them incredible power. He gives them incredible authority. He gives them incredible purpose. Be fruitful, multiply, go into the earth, subdue it, bring everything, every nook and cranny of the earth under kingdom reign and rule. There's just one thing you mustn't do. Eat from the fruit of the tree. Now, people will often jump on this and say, well, I don't need religion or anything like that because it's just a bunch of rules and God's taken the joy out of life. You need to get this, all right? God says to Adam and Eve, here is immense freedom for you. As far as the eye can see, that's the freedom that has been given to you. Here's one thing you mustn't do. Why? Because it won't be good for you. God's not a divine killjoy. He knows what's best for us. Sadly, the story continues, and Adam and Eve, they don't listen to what God has said to them. They're tempted by Satan. They take the fruit. They eat it. And in their actions, their silent actions of eating this fruit, scream louder than words possibly could. Just through that simple act of disobeying God, they're basically saying to God, I don't need you. I will be my own God. I will sort things out for myself. I don't need you to tell me how I should live, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, etc., etc. I'll just figure it all out for myself. Thank you very much. And from that moment, sin entered the world. And every single person that has ever lived has been touched by it. There's no getting away from it. I mean, you think about it for a moment, all right? Nobody needs to teach you to do the wrong thing. It comes instinctively to us as human beings. Just look at babies. You know, little Farny and Fricky praying with their toys. Farny sees one that Fricky's got. Fricky doesn't want to give it to him. What does he do? Snatches it. It's mine, I'll have it. And if Fricky doesn't like it, then Farny might smack him with the toy. And we've seen the Instagram videos and we say, oh, cute little kids, aren't they? No, that's sin. That's sin. Children, as they grow up, they don't need to be taught to lie to their parents. It just comes instinctively to them. Have you tidied your room? Yeah, of course I've tidied my room. And then you go up and you're like, why haven't you tidied your room? And it's like, my brother did it. I'm not looking in this way on purpose, okay? Don't even get me started with teenagers, all right? And then there's young adults, and there's mid-adults, and there's old people. It's on us. It's in us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. We don't do what we should do. We do what we shouldn't do. The Bible calls it sin. It separates us from God. Why does the old need to go? Because we've got a sin problem. Question number two, what has God done about it? There's two verses in this passage that speak into what it is that God has done here. First one is, God made him who had no sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Verse number two, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. And why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because God loves you in a way that he yearns for a relationship with you. He wants that you would know him the same way that he knows you, absolutely inside out. With a love that reaches across to us. I love what the Bible says. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. In other words, when you did not deserve it, Christ reached across the gap in order to woo you with his love. With a love that doesn't give up on us, all right, but is constantly looking towards us. Almost, there's a sense in the heart of God where he's looking at us and he's saying, just turn and look. Just turn and look. Just see what it is that I've done for you. Never giving up. No matter how far we walk away from God, he never gives up on us. A love that is committed to his creation. God's never got to the point where he's kind of said, that's it. He's always been so. He's always stepped in and rescued. Always stepped in and rescued. With a love that believes the best of you. You may have moments, I've said this before, where you look in the mirror and you absolutely despair of yourself because of the things that you've done and said and so on and so on. God never looks at you like that. There's never a moment where he looks at you and says, I'm sick of her. He always looks at you and he says, I love you. I believe in you. I delight in you. I've made you for a purpose. I want to place my power in you and my authority in you so that you can go out to do the good works that I planned in advance for you to do. With a love that gives us the very best. Right? His one and only son, Jesus, as 2.4 billion Christians across the world have been remembering today, the Jesus who gave his perfect life as an atoning sacrifice for your life and for my life, so that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can be friends with God, so that we can become a part of the family of God. The question, what has God done about to make us new? He's given you his son Jesus in love, so that you can have life. And as you look at the cross and you reflect on the cross, there's two important things that are taking place here. First of all your sin that separated you from God, the old that has to go, gets laid upon Jesus. He is the one that is the sin bearer, the one that carries our sin for us. And not only does he bear the penalty for our sin, which is death and the wrath of God, on top of that, he carries our sin away from us so that you can have a cleansed conscience, so that you can be free from guilt, free from shame. In other words, everything that once separated you from God is removed so that you can be reconciled to God. And with that, the shout goes out. The shout full of grace, the shout full of love that God shouts from the cross when he says, come. Right? This is the gospel call. Come. All have sinned. The penalty for sin is death. But in Christ Jesus, the penalty has been paid. So come. The weary, the lost, the broken, those who think they've got it all together and those that have come to the realization that they don't have it all together, come. Because there is life in Jesus' name, there is hope in Jesus' name, there's forgiveness in Jesus' name. Question one, why must the old go? Because we've got a sin problem. What has God done to make us new? He's given us his son Jesus. Question number three, so what happens next? And this is the bit that applies to those who have been baptized this evening and those who all have put their trust in Jesus Christ. What happens next? You live a life of change. That's what happens next. Your life is supposed to change. You don't go on doing the old stuff anymore. Your life changes for the better. You grow in things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The qualities that we so often yearn for in people close to us. The qualities that people yearn for in us. It has the most remarkable effect on your relationships, in your workplace, on your testimony about who Jesus is. You know, people ask me, how do you know if somebody's saved? The only answer I can think of is their life must change. There must be change in their lives. So do you mind if those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, do you mind if we take a little health check this evening? We've just come out of one season of Lent leading up to Easter. Maybe you gave up chocolate and you've been gorging on chocolate today. We're entering another season now, all right, that leads up to Pentecost. Do you mind if we do a little health check before we do? Is God's grace, can you say with Paul, God's grace has not been without effect to me? Is the life of Christ being evidenced in you by the following things? You have a heartfelt trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. You got that? You're full of assurance about the forgiveness of your sins. You've got a desire that burns inside you to spend time in God's word and in prayer on a daily basis. There's a delight about coming to worship with other people. You have a desire for Christian fellowship. You have a sincere desire to be obedient to the word of God. So what you read, you don't just think, oh, that's for other people. You actually say, that's for me, and I need to put it into practice in my life. You have a desire to tell other people about Jesus. All of these things and so many more, they're evidences of the Spirit's work within us in those who are saved. So how are you doing? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, it's pretty pants at the moment. 10 being, I feel fired up. I've been to every Easter service and I'm just ready for more, you know. Wish we had one on Monday, all right? Where do you fit on this? Are you on this side? Are you somewhere down over here and you're saying, well, if I'm really honest, Stu, it's about a 2 or 3, maybe pushing a 4. The reality is something's just gone wrong, and I don't have this desire to read the Bible at the moment and to worship with God's people and fellowship with God's people and that sort of thing. Something inside has just gone a little bit awry. Then let me ask you, with all the love in my heart for you as your pastor, what is it? What has gotten in the way of walking faithfully with the one who has given everything for you? What is it that is hindering? Is there something that you need to turn away from? Do you need to turn around? Do you need to repent? Then do that. Do that, because the cross is for you. Right? This is the weird thing that we sometimes, if you've been around church for a long time and you've been through many Easter services and baptismal services, we get this idea in our minds that the cross is for the people who aren't saved. No, the cross is for all people at all times, always. Irrespective of whether you've been saved 5 years, 1 year, haven't yet been saved, the cross is for us because we need grace. We need forgiveness. And so the call goes out to those who haven't put their trust in Jesus Christ, come. And the call goes out to those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, but for whatever reason have just gotten stuck a little bit. The Lord says, come. Come and be made new. You know, I had this really strong sense this morning that there were people here this morning that weren't living the Christian, finding the Christian life a real struggle, because they probably couldn't remember the last time they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to live the Christian life as God intends us to live it without being filled with the Holy Spirit, and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I equally have exactly the same conviction this evening that there's people who have put their trust in Jesus and they're sitting somewhere over here, there are 2 or 3, and they're saying, I can't remember the last time I changed and went from glory to glory, growing in God's grace. It's Easter. He is risen. He is alive. He wants to do a work in you. He wants to move you from wherever you are to where you should be going, or at least set you in the right direction to be moving. And so I'm going to pause now and I'm going to pray. And then we're going to draw our service to a close. But before we do, I want to pray for you. I'm utterly convinced there's somebody here this evening who I've been speaking to, and you've been thinking, gosh, how does he know? So why don't we all just close our eyes for a second? And let's respect people's privacy. And listen carefully to me. If your heart is in a 2 or 3 at the moment, and you want to move on, you want God to come this evening to touch you with fresh touch of the Spirit, new power, new life, why don't you just stick your hand up? I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than to just raise your hand so I can see, so that I can pray for you. Ask God to bless you. I see several hands up. All right, put your hands down, guys.